Let's stand as we sing a song, then we'll take an offering. Because He lives. God sent His Son. Get that, amen. We're blessed.
Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful and thankful, Lord, to meet with you in the midst of the week, Lord Father. The people have come here under great expectation. We know that we have confidence because we know we serve a God that is living, Lord Father. This gathering is nothing without you, so we ask that you come amongst us and be with us, Lord. Forgive us our many sins, Lord, and anoint Brother Wade, Lord, to bring our message, Lord, that will reach our hearts, Lord, that will change lives, that we will leave here different people, Lord. We won't be the same as we came in, Lord. Also, we bring these tithes and offerings before you, and we ask that you will bless it and sanctify, may be used for the furtherance of your ministry, Lord God, and commit the rest of the service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, remain standing. We're going to turn the service over just in a minute here. Fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning.
Sing this little chorus and then we're going to change over the service. Amen. He's alive and well this evening. Amen. Living in me to tell. He's alive and well. Living in me to tell the world that he is the same. He's the same. Change over the service as the brother comes this evening.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have a Wednesday hump day service. I know that it's a time that if we didn't have church on Wednesday night, it'd be tough going through the weekend. It just really would. It'd be tough. Yes. We can take our burdens and give them to him and kick the devil in the teeth while we're at it.
Yes.
So we will try to do that if you'll help me. Amen. Amen. All right, by the way of just some announcements to refresh your memory, tomorrow we'll be leaving at about 11 o'clock to go to Ruth till Saturday, and Saturday we'll be back with Brother Keith and Sister Francine, and we will have regular service on Sunday with them. And then next Wednesday I'll be speaking. Remember on the 16th, Brother Ryan announced it. If you need the address again, I put it on the WhatsApp page. So if you need to know where Brother Bruce's church is, It's on there before the 16th. Now, we'll have a regular service here. Then we'll go get a bite to eat, and then we'll head up to Anderson. It's only about, well, it's according if you eat late, how long. Brother Aaron and I had to leave the other day pretty quick, but we got there a little bit late, but that's okay. But we'll grab a bite to eat, and then we'll go there. Service starts at 5. All right, just keep us in your prayers for that. And also remember the two services on the 23rd and the 30th. This is what I'd like for you to do. I talked to Brother Joe about this. I've got a couple of songs on my heart that we don't sing. And I know maybe some of you have something that maybe you have a favorite song that we don't sing. Esther, don't fall out. It'll be okay. Sister Esther's like. But we can practice them that day. But if you got an old song that we don't sing, that you like as a congregational, now not as a singular song, but as a congregational song, send it to Brother Joe, but make sure you send it with music. Run it off of a book. We got several in this old red book that we've got that we don't sing anymore. And that's not knocking it. I just want us to be diversified. I like my special songs. I like the songs I like. I like the songs we sing here. I like the selection that our brothers do. But if you got something on your heart, that's a good time to practice it. And maybe it'd be something that we can sing, and maybe it'd be something we can sing. I'm sure Brother Joe and Sister Esther will let us know if it don't. Able to, we've not had as many songs we haven't been able to sing. But just do that on the 23rd, the second service, which will be all song service. Just bring one song, a favorite song that you would like to practice, and you may have to get up here and tell us how it goes. But that may be a challenge, but if you'll bring the music, I think we can put it together. So that just was on my heart the other day. I was singing a song that we hadn't sang here in a long, long time. So we can diversify a little bit and have some songs that are not just that we sing over and over again. Okay, so just bring it. Send it to Brother Joe. Don't bring it the 23rd. Yeah, don't put that on Brother Joe. But send it to him, WhatsApp. Give it to him in his hand between now and then, before then, and let's sing a few songs maybe that we hadn't sung in a long time, or something that you really think that we could that your heart enjoys, right. Songs that you sing, you know,
yeah.
And we want to I want to give everybody a chance to participate. I want everybody to have a chance to have their favorite song, and maybe we may just sing it one time or two times, but that's okay. But it'll give us a little more diverse. I like the old songs and I like the new songs, I really like some of the old songs that we used to sing long, long time ago. It's really hard now. We don't ever open any books anymore.
Right.
You could pretty much throw those things in the trash because we don't sing out of them anymore, but boy, we used to. You used to have to scramble and get that red book, or Dick would say, red book. I talked to Sister Gail today. She said, tell y'all hello. She's watching in. She's with us. She almost came during the July the 4th, but something happened at one of her kids' car tore up, actually, and they had to make other arrangements. She was coming then, but she said to tell you hello. And, you know, Brother Dick would say, well, we're singing out of the spiral book or we're singing out of the red book. We don't have to do that anymore. But even with the special songs that we have, we can still put it up on the board. So
yes.
just something a little different, something to expand our horizons a little bit. So bring your favorite song. All right, let's bow our heads. Remember, foreign brothers, they're there now, but there's some still coming in. But just remember them. They're coming in from all over the country. And especially for Brother Joe and Sister Nate and the different... Sister Nate, don't tell him I said that. Brother Nate. And I was thinking of Sister Rexanne, his mama. But they're having to feed all those. They're having to put them somewhere. It's an undertaking like you would never believe.
Amen.
So they feed those foreign brothers 3 meals a day, every day.
Amen.
They don't feed everybody, but they feed all the foreign brothers 3 meals a day, every day. Put them up in a motel. Go pick them up. If they can't drive, they'll pick them up and take them to the services. So just remember them in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do, as we stand here today, Lord, we've watched Brother Joe and Nate and the different ones, Lord, how they work with that time, Lord, that has been on their heart since Brother Joe's dad was a young man, to have a service for foreign brothers, to bring them in and bring their needs and then see if we can fulfill those needs for them monetarily. But Father, as Brother Joe always says, you've never ran out of money. You know what to do. You know who to give to. It's all in your hands, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, that you be with them. Keep them safe. The whole church, that whole church binds together for that 1 week. This week here, and they come together and cook and move people around and deliver them different places. Father, I pray that you be with each one. The old body gets tired and weary, but Lord, you said you would sustain us in the time of need. So Father, I pray that you be with them. Be with the ones that are not here tonight, the ones that are sick. Lord, be with the ones online. Be with Ohio Group. Bless them, Lord. Father, we appreciate them and really miss them, Father, in person. But Father, tonight we'll be able to speak, Lord, through the airwaves. And maybe we can say something that'll help someone, Lord. I pray that you'd be with the ones here, Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, heal us of our sickness, Father, whether it be spiritual or natural. Amen. Lord, especially spiritual. Yes. Lord, just raise us up for your honor and glory. The prophet told us many years ago, he said, the sickest body is the body of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that now, and I believe that now, that body's being healed. Amen. And we're coming to a place, as we're going to look at tonight, we're coming to a place to where this thing's going to close down very shortly. And we're going to go visit you, Lord, for 3.5 years. We'll be up there in another dimension while you visit the Jews and wipe this old wicked world off. And we'll come back together, Lord, in a millennium. Father, I pray that you'd bless the ones that are sin sick, the ones that are downtrodden. Father, you're the only one that knows their needs. And I pray tonight that you would minister to each one. Forgive us of our sins. Bless us, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn to Revelation 6 and start again. I was thinking today, and I look back at the sermons that Dad preached in 1982, and he preached a lot on the fourth seal. Well, I thought, well, I'm not going to do but four or five, and maybe at the most, and we're on five today, and we ain't even got to death yet. So we'll get to it next Wednesday, the Lord willing. But tonight we're going to kind of just add a few things in because, like I said before, when this fourth seal is over, and if you don't, two brothers, you can pull the chart up over there in a minute. But this fourth seal, we're gone. After this, everything's heading up under that seal. That's why it's justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Word incarnate, or the Word being what? The Word being finished in a Gentile bride. Right. Because they're not going to get the Son of Man ministry to the Jews. That's going to be salvation. That's going to be the Son of God. That's who they turned down. He was the Son of Man, but they're going to get a revelation that they missed it. But they're going to be given eternal life. Amen. Everybody with me? That's when we're gone, though. We're finished and over and done with.
Right.
All right? You got the fifth seal Jew, and you got all that we're going to continue to look at because this got to come up under the fourth seal because the seals are going to be finished. We're going to take a body change. We're going to have the headstones going to be on a group of people. And Brother Brown said that there would be a mighty church for just a moment. Right at the end of time, there'd be a mighty church raise up and would sweep this thing on to the coming of the Lord. And I believe we're looking at it. I don't think there's another generation coming. I believe that we're here.
Amen.
So if we're here, then we're the ones that, you know, a lot of times you don't know who is the, you know, you put them in battle. Some will run. Some will freeze up.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But there'll be some that'll carry on. And even the ones that carry on reach back and grab those that and shake them out of their whatever they're in, the state that they're in, and takes them forward. And I believe that's what's happening now, is that the word of the Lord is being picked up by members of the church. And even the ones that we see that are kind of frozen, you know, because a lot of times in a battle, a lot of people freeze. They can't do anything. They freeze. But when they do, they need to be slapped out of it every once in a while. So maybe we can slap out of it every once in a while. Maybe we can. Maybe all need to be slapped a little bit every once in a while. Get one of those whippings from the Lord, and he'll say, come on, the battle's yours. I've already won it. You just need to come fight it. All right? And I think that's what we're into now. But we've got to go into this part of the seals and see that it is to us. It is not to the world. It is not to the denominations. And it's not to a lot of the people in the message. Sadly to say. I was talking to a minister a couple of days ago. He's not a pastor. He's a minister. And it just looks like that all people want, and I mean, it came out of both of our mouths at the same time. The only time we go to a special meeting is because so-and-so preacher's going to be there, and they're going to have a prayer line.
Right.
Well, now, that's not in the capstone message. Brother Branham said it's not in the years of preparation. It's not in the prayer lines.
Right.
When are we going to start listening to that?
Amen.
And I told the brother, and he's not a pastor, so he was listening. I said, because he was going to go speak to a group of people about ministers, what should ministers do, pastors, evangelists, and all the fivefold ministry, what should we be doing? I said, well, for one thing's for sure, we don't need pastors preaching somebody else's meeting all the time. And he was an evangelist. I said, it's taking your part out. Nobody wants to hear a teacher. You never see a meeting where you go and somebody teaches on the Word of God and they take one subject and they just teach the whole thing. No, they have a feel good, and that's okay, it's a special meeting. But if they would start teaching their people at home, because I'm going to tell you one thing's for sure, and I'm looking you all in the eye. If you think you got to go get Brother Donnie Reagan to pray for you to get healed, you need to be in his church. You need to be in his church. I'm just dead serious. If you think somebody else has got more than what we've got here, go. It's your life. It ain't mine. It's your life. But people wait till a certain group of time, a period of time, like probably the camp meeting. They're going to always have a prayer line on Friday night, and hundreds of people come through the line. Well, if they'll start praying for get the pastor to pray for them, and he stay at home and get to pray for them here, because there are people that have told me that if Brother So-and-so was here to pray for me, I know I'd get healed. And I thought, well, head off to the... You know what Daddy told Brother Colley? He was sitting... Brother Colley was here. He'd shake his head. He told Brother Colley, he said, if you think you can find somebody else to pray for Sister Ruth when Sister Ruth was dying, he said, I'll put you in the car and we'll go. He said, if you have confidence... He said, I ain't got... Listen, ain't no pride on me, buddy. No. But if you think you got to wait until you go see your favorite preacher, well, your favorite preacher, you need to go to his house. You need to go to his church.
Amen.
I don't want this to be your favorite church. Hello?
Amen.
I want you to be gathered together in the right place.
Amen.
And you realize this is the right place for you to be.
Amen.
Not for somebody to tell you that, but for you from the inside, realize that this is where I'm supposed to be. Because then me and the brother were talking, then you got to go right back to that one quote where Brother Brown said, stay with your pastor. He's the one that's going to lead you through. So there's got to be a pastor somewhere that leads the people through. And evangelist is not going to do it. Evangelist is going to come in. They're going to stir the people up. Brother Brown explained all this. But we don't use a fivefold ministry. We do here. Because I may bring some pastors in. I may, Brother Mike Oltig and Brother Chris Long, but they're good teachers. Amen. They got lots and lots of wisdom that I get wisdom from. And I believe you get wisdom from. But I just don't have every pastor coming in here preaching every. No, we have evangelists. Amen? And apostles. You know what apostles is? One sin. Apostle is like Brother Clark. Sure, he was a pastor over there, but he come here as a missionary. He came here as an apostle. Because an apostle is one sin. It's a missionary. So we have missionaries. We'll have them. We used to have a bunch. If y'all were back here 20 years ago, August, Daddy done nothing but schedule. That's all he done was schedule people. We'd go to Ruth, and he'd have 20 names, and he'd try to fit them all in. Right. But they don't do that so much anymore, but we'll get as many as we can because we love our foreign brothers, and we love to hear other people. I don't want you to have to think that you – I hope you don't get that I'm saying you got to listen to me. You don't got to listen to me. You need to listen to the Spirit – because the Spirit speaks to the church.
Amen.
It has to come through somebody. But the Spirit speaks to the church. All right? Everybody with me? All right? But I just want to let you know that. That's just kind of, we're something we discussed a couple of days ago. So it's not anything that's not being discussed. It's not just my opinion. It was his opinion too. That we need to do it that way. But until we do get it right, we're going to still be here. Until we get all the fivefold working and every member, the Bible says, every member fitly joined together.
Right.
Know your place, know your position. And once we do, then guess what's going to happen? Brother Brown said, then we'll go home.
Amen.
Amen. Because how do you feel now, even with my leg being the way it is, it's not out of joint. But if you got something, Brother Aaron, his back was hurting him. Well, his back's hurting him, it makes his whole body hurt. Amen? So when one of us hurt, the whole body should hurt. That's why we have WhatsApp groups and different things. When you go to prayer, you need to earnestly go to prayer for those people. Amen? Everybody with me? Just pray for my leg. My left one hurt worse than my right one. But that, vanity of vanities. Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Now who was that? That was the eagle anointing. All right, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Now, I want you to look at that, because what we're going to talk about tonight is kind of the same thing we were talking about Wednesday night, is the shout, voice, and the trumpet. Now, if we are at that point, death has been destroyed.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
When four seal is over and shuts, the Gentile church is done. We're sealed.
Amen.
And we're gone.
Right.
Death has been destroyed, and we don't go to hell.
Right.
But the people that are under the pale horse anointing are going to see death because that's what they're living in,
right.
And hell's going to follow with them. Because
right.
If you die a spiritual death, there's only one place for you.
Right.
You die a spiritual death. I'm talking about death, Satan. Then hell's the only place you're going. The only two places, and that's heaven and hell. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. One more. We're going to talk about this a little bit more tonight because we've got to add a little bit to it. 1 Thessalonians, this is Paul telling us this is what's going to happen in the end time. All right? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or the interpretation is hinder, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, under the fourth seal, remember, the fourth seal is a pale horse. It's a mixed spirit. Because what's going to happen with the Spirit in today, what's going to happen today is that Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal are going to become part of the Catholic Church. Because remember, Brother Brown, they'll mix right in together because it's the mama and her daughters. So they're going to all mix together. So there's that pale horse. It's all that mixing together. But see, what Satan's done is he's mixed them together. And he's mixed them together thinking that if he can get all them together, he can destroy us. But he can't do it. Amen? I'm so happy that he's already raised a standard. He's already raised something up that we've got in us today. You ain't got to go searching for it if you have the new birth today. You don't have to go searching for it. It's already inside of you. All right? If not, you're going to be run over by the devil. And we're run over and up by him anyway. But let's read this right here. Now, this is where Brother Branham, I've come in and used it in every seal. But what happened was, Brother Branham's first seal, he said, I'd have made a horrible mistake. So here we go again. The second seal, I don't know what's going on. I thought it was something totally different. Third seal, I thought it was something else. Now, watch on the fourth seal. I'm so happy, just thought this one wouldn't come, but it finally did. In other words, it was fresh. It wasn't something he already had wrote down. This seal, when that seal opened, it was nothing the prophet had written down. That's why he was trying to get the people to see that his message was getting its stamp of approval or seal of approval during that week. Because he knew God was changing his mind and putting it in a correct place. He thought the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. He thought in the fifth seal that the souls under the altar was the dead saints that had gone on and all the different things. And every one, he said, but now look, he said he was waiting on this one. He said, it must be that he's a little bit late on this one. Maybe he was. I don't think God was. I'm so happy that just thought this one wouldn't come, but it finally did. And so I'm thankful that being the last of those four horse riders, which I think is one of the main messages to the church at this time, which is what? The fourth seal or the fourth rider. I don't know what the other one is. So in other words, he's coming. He thinks he knows what the fifth seal is, but he's by that time, Brother Donnie, he's totally like, I don't know none of this. I'm waiting on God. I'm going to throw my notes away because something's coming fresh. Amen. All right? And that's what we may need to do sometimes. We write down our old ideas, and I don't mean writing them down, but writing them down in our head sometimes, our own ideas, and then all of a sudden, God says, no, that ain't right. But now what do we do with it? After that is our business. I don't know what the other one is. I'm just taking it day by day. But just as he reveals it, I'm trying to give it by as he gives it to me. And when he said, talks about enjoying the blessings and all that, because watch, he said, because it's blended together, all one big act of God showing himself, what? In different ways. All right? So now, Brother Brown said, look, we've had symbols. We probed at it, done very good sometimes. But see, remember, he's not preaching a sometimes message. Right. Sometimes making it, sometimes not. Sometimes fitting, sometimes not. He's looking for that perfect message because he knows that eagle anointing and where he's standing is the final voice of the final age. It's the finality. There's nothing else coming. His message is now going to perfect the bride and take them into a rapture. Amen. So he knew they're going to have to come to a place to where there's no denomination. And as I'll read to you in a few minutes, he said, no leaven, nothing to interrupt. It's going to be the word of God, and that's it. All right? Now, we've had symbols, probed at it, done very good sometimes. See? But we know it's moved right on. But now in the last days, we can look back and see where it has been. All right, you look back to see what it was being. That's supposed to be done then at the end of the church age, just before the rapture. So he knew in that fourth seal that something was coming to a culmination. All right, because that's when our rapture takes place. But he doesn't quote it until we get to the fifth seal, When we get to the fifth seal, he looks back and says, there's no horse riders anymore, so therefore the rapture takes place on the fourth seal.
Right.
But he's preaching about death, and he's preaching about hell, and he's preaching all these, the fourth seal being all mixed up. But remember, he's got to have in his mind, God has left that in his mind, is that is an eagle anointing. It's a fly higher. It's deeper revelation. It's where man has never been before. There's never been an eagle anointing on the earth except for one man.
Right.
One man. Paul didn't have it. Paul had the lion anointing, the strong. Go out and be bold.
That's right.
But Jesus was the only lion, ox, man, and eagle that ever was on the earth.
Right.
So now we see the Son of Man ministry is the eagle anointing. To where no one has ever been that high. No one ever seen that far. No one ever seen that much. Oh, men saw pieces and parts, like he said. We probed at it. Done very good sometimes. We don't need sometimes. He's not a sometime God. We don't sing a sometime God. He's an on-time God. What is supposed to be done at the end of the church age just before the rapture. Restoration of the bride tree. We've been through this before, but I want you to understand that we are that four into that fourth message.
Right. Amen.
If you've been through justification, you've been through the first one.
Right.
If you've been through sanctification, you've been through the second one. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost today in your soul, you've been through the third one.
Right. Amen.
But my question is, have we moved on to the fourth one,
right,
which is the growth? The fourth one is totally growth development. Okay? It's the restoring of everything that was eaten down since the dawn of time. Because look, what was the fourth? A prayer line. No. Shouting, speaking in tongues. Listen, folks, Satan loves every bit of that except for the word. He can't stand the word being brought in its truth. And not it sometimes. Satan can live in sometimes.
Right.
Satan lived in sometimes in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Eve told him everything, but she listened to him and he put one word in it.
Right.
One word tore the whole thing up. And if, like Brother Dale always said, if one word got us out of the garden, being one word off can't get us back in. That's why the Son of Man, that's why the second Adam had to come. The first Adam sold us out. The second Adam brought us back.
Amen.
So the second Adam couldn't be deceived. He wasn't going to be deceived. And Brother Branham said that the second Eve would not be deceived. She'd be the virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. That's us today. That's not the ones that's gone on, folks. The ones that's gone on, yes, they're bride. Yes. Yes, they're in the sixth dimension. But that's not complete yet. A complete body is going to be when we're all together. We've all had a body change, and we've all taken a rapture. Where death, as we'll talk about next Sunday, we got to bring death in, because death and hell was named during this fourth seal.
That's right.
Brother Brown will tell you, and I'll read it later, next Wednesday. He said, now it's got a name. We know what death is now. You and I know what death is. You think the denominations know what death is? They think death is drinking, smoking. Well, some of them, maybe not even that. Okay? Everybody with me? You and I know what is killing us. You and I know that if we die without Christ, that we are going to hell. And that hell is not eternal. Everybody else does. I said, all the other ones, I'm telling you, all the other ones, and that's a doctrine. But see, our doctrine is a true doctrine. We know what death is, and here's what I wrote down. I said, the eagle anointing is the only one that could tell us where death is and what follows after the death.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about a death of ourselves. I'm not talking about dying in Christ. I'm talking about sitting in a church and not being born again. Dying.
Right.
And if you do, death, what follows death? Hell follows death.
Right.
Leave everything else behind. We need to have a shift in our thinking. We know, as message believers, folks, we know where death is. We know it's not the truth. We know, though, that it can be true, all but one word. So close it would deceive the very elect is what Jesus said himself.
Right.
All right? So what defeated Satan? What defeated Satan? Just the word of God. Jesus didn't look at him and say, I'm God. Bless God. I'm God. Bless God. I'm God. Do what I say. No, he took him to the word. Everything he had at his disposal. He had everything at his disposal. And he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. How simple is that when we try to figure it out? But what was it that defeated Satan? The word. The word back in power, which, listen, Jesus was the word in power. He showed it in demonstration. He said, every time he said who he was, that's who he was. He wasn't lying. See, we could be lying. We could say, oh, I'm a message believer, and be as dead as a doornail inside. Okay? So Luther's message was the just shall live by faith. We know that. That's justification. Wesley's message started cleaning up the church under sanctification. Azusa Street Pentecost restored the gift. Listen, the true Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, Azusa Street, 1906. That was the Holy Ghost. That wasn't a watered-down version. That wasn't another person or another Holy Ghost. There's only one. Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost came himself. But the Holy Ghost came himself not, listen, not to restore headship, but to restore the gifts. To bring the gifts back in the church. Why? Because that was a stepping stone for his prophet to step out on.
Right.
For his prophet to move with those Pentecostals and move in their ranks with all the signs and wonders. And we know they weren't supposed to get all the message, but they were bride during that time too, folks. They were believers.
Right.
I mean, we've got to understand that, as me and even Brother Baldwin were talking the other day, there ain't going to be but a few message believers in the future home, folks. There's just going to be a small amount of us. I'm talking about Brother Branham message believers in time. There's going to be millions upon millions of Paul's people.
Yep, right.
That doesn't know, listen, doesn't know the verbiage that we know. You know what I mean? When we start talking about Daniel 70 weeks and the seals and start putting everything together. Paul didn't know anything about that. But he had an unction, but he was led of God, though, to pen in his letters what we needed, praise God, what we needed to get the inspiration and the revelation from was his writings.
Right.
But their verbiage is not like ours. The verbiage that even with Jesus telling the people all these different things, he had his own language.
Right.
It was a heavenly language. And that's what we've got to have. If the Son of Man had one, we got to have a heavenly language.
Amen.
Well, we can talk about the seals being the true, complete revelation of Jesus Christ, being the true and complete revelation of you, the church, or you, the bride, and letting us know where he's not at. This message, if you'll look at it real close, you'll see where Satan is and where you are. If you'll get down and dig, that's what I'm telling you. When the pale horse went out riding, a name popped up. Death. And hell followed him. No other time during the whole church, during the church ages, and during the other first three seals, was there ever a name given to this guy sitting on that horse. But now you and I, listen, if you and I are identified by a name, Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize in his name. We pray in his name. We take communion in his name. We live by his name. We are his name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen?
Yes, sir.
They're not out there. They're still dealing with titles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
They're not worshiping the true God. Listen, the God of this evil age has blinded their eyes.
Right.
And listen, matter of fact, it's blinded our eyes until we see the truth.
Amen.
It's blinding our eyes. That's where iniquity comes from.
Right.
But listen, we know to do better. We have no excuse. We can't say, you can't stand up here and say, my pastor told me I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to get born again. I just got to believe and wear one of them things. Mm-mm. No. It's got to come from your heart. It's like I said the other day, a true born again believer will never have to be preached on to come to church. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, no exception.
Right.
Amen. True.
Amen.
And don't tell me it's not in some people's heart. You see them out doing stuff on Saturday and Monday and no church on Sunday. Well, anyway,
amen.
I didn't want to throw that blanket over you, but trying to save your soul.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Listen. I don't prepare to come to church. What's inside of me is preparing me to go to church. It is compelling me to come to church. It's compelling to me to pray and read my Bible and study and pray for everybody. It's not just something that,
I think I'll pray for everybody today.
Oh, gee, it's church time. Well, too close. I don't think I'll make it. It's going to come down to a razor's edge.
Amen.
Don't let thinking that you're born again all these years and you're not. Because I'm telling you, if you don't love coming to church, every Sunday and every Wednesday. I know we have, listen, we take vacations. But you know last year, do you remember the times last year? I'm not trying to get on my soapbox, but I'm going to tell you how I feel. I had a couple of Sundays off that I was going hunting. On the schedule.
Amen.
Did I?
Amen.
No, I did not. Don't shake your head. Yes, I did not. I didn't miss a service last year. Except for going out and preaching and doing other things, you know. No, you know what? Saturday, something inside me, you need to go home.
Right.
Drove 8 hours.
Yep.
Got home at midnight. I knew I had a preacher here.
Right.
I knew y'all were okay with it. But I wasn't okay with it.
Right.
That's just the way some people are built. Some people are not. Some people are built this way. And listen, like I said, I don't belittle somebody for being out on Sunday for the things that you, like vacation time. Everybody with me? Take a vacation. Please do. But, I mean, even when we were growing up, if we took vacations or went somewhere, we always scheduled it to be back on Sunday, not Sunday being a travel day. A lot of y'all use Sunday for a travel day. Well, why don't you use Saturday for one? We get here on Sunday. Why I'm doing this, I don't know. But we need to be serious about what we're doing. If we're not serious about what we're doing, then you know what? The day you don't show up is the day God had something for you, and he'll remind you of that.
Amen.
So, and like I said before, I'm going to hunt on some Sundays if I feel led to, if I'm like I'm going to Montana for 2 weeks, if the Lord tarries and I can get my other leg worked fixed, I'm going to Montana for a couple of weeks because I drew a tag and I'm going to go out there and hunt. And I'll be gone. But you know what I'll do? I'll be watching online. When me and June go, we go to hunting and when we went to Illinois, we'd be out on Wednesday. I'd come right in from hunting. We'd sit down. We'd watch it online. I didn't wait 3 weeks later to catch up. I know that's what some of y'all do because you don't listen to the announcements. Well, never mind. I'm going. I'll make somebody mad on that one. So anyway, Malachi 4, I can't see how you sit there and you can't read this stuff. Y'all know when Trump's hair is messed up because it's on YouTube or it's on Instagram or it's on, well, I'm going to preach anyway, Facebook. But you can't watch up here during the time of the service that you're not doing anything. Oh, I'm praying. It's on WhatsApp. It's everywhere you need it. It's actually on Facebook. So you have no excuse. But anyway. What is the eagle anointing, though? Listen, we can't shun the eagle anointing. It's here. We can't say, well, I think I'll just stay in the ox anointing, or I'll just stay in the man anointing. I just don't know about that. No, you can't do that. God has given us every age an anointing. And you know the reason he gave it to us? Because there'd be a people there that would do it.
Amen.
I believe sometimes we're in a chicken anointing. Caught in the barnyard, can't fly, eat garbage. It's Wednesday night. I think I'll preach a little bit. But the eagle anointing is here. It's flying higher. It's more anointing than ever before. It's more preaching higher order than ever before. And listen. And I know it goes on in other churches because I talk to other ministers. There is a group of people that come in late. But now remember, if we believe our Bible, there was an 11th hour worker that got paid the same amount of money as the people that worked all day. So God made a provision for them to get it. But you know what they done? They worked that hour. They didn't just call themselves 11th hour workers and sit over there and sat under a tree and slept for that 1 hour. No, they worked like a fool.
Right.
They tried. God's not going to leave you here if you'll try.
Amen.
He can't. He sees the desire of your heart.
Right.
It's a heart thing that's got to be changed first.
Amen.
Then you will connect yourself to that eagle anointing. You'll have to, because that's what the call of the Holy Ghost is. It's not the Holy Ghost, the lion, ox, man, and eagle. That's the four anointings that's under the Holy Ghost. But ours is just the eagle. But remember, we have so much provision. We have books and tapes that are on your watch now. Especially on your phone. For those of you that stay on Facebook a lot, you ought to turn it over to get you some real good books. Like the Voice of God book. Brother Bram said, you see each of these ages. Now watch, he's going to tell us what's going on. You see each of these ages only taking a dip into the Holy Spirit. But now look, Brother Bram tells us 1,000 times on tape, he says, if you've got one spoonful of the ocean, you can say you've got the ocean. Because everything that's in that gazillion gallons of water is in that one teaspoon. So they had the Holy Ghost in their teaspoon time, but it was the true Holy Ghost. But it worked under justification. Then it worked under sanctification. Then it worked under the baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoring the gifts. I'm talking about our time. See, that's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. That's why there was no messenger to the age. And we saw that there was a Pentecostal age in the first and in the last. We saw that. But there was no messenger. So there's no eight messengers. Okay? There's not an extra one to come. Because the Holy Ghost came himself on the day of Pentecost on the upper room. And there was the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, 1906 Azusa Street. There was not a prophet, a person prophet, that was anointed for that time. No messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism. But at the end of the age, as it always ends up the other, we find there the messenger sent. In other words, there's this extra messenger, but it was actually the messenger to Laodicea. We know that. Now watch, he says what? The messenger sent. Now watch, and all the scruples and things are to be placed in their place, see, like that. Then the rapture comes for the church. Everybody with me? We're going to speed up a little bit. Water, blood, and life. But that we're not in. If you're born again today, you're in the growth part.
Right.
The maturity part.
Amen.
Heading toward a resurrection and a change and a rapture.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
It's good to get washed by the water of the word. We know that. We're dying daily. That's what Paul said. Right?
Right.
And we're being washed by the water of the word. Because why? Because we're human beings. We're in a fallen condition in our spirit realm and in our flesh.
Right.
So we have to be washed continually.
Right.
And the he didn't say washed. I ain't going to say it again. He said it's washed by the word.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Not a feeling or an emotion or a prayer line or a jumping and a shouting and a hooping. It's what? The word of God.
Right.
Word of God, ever true. That's what will change you. Because I'll promise you, Brother Kern, the shouting is coming.
Amen.
Then we'll know what we're shouting about. Because we won't feel old anymore.
Amen.
And God will be revealing to us. Brother Brown said it would pop like popcorn. The revelation would come so fast to that last age people. And I'm looking for the quote, and I'll find it for next time, where Brother Brown says, when the doors of the Gentile church is closed, he said, God will anoint a church then. He'll do in 1 year what theologists have tried to do in 2,000 years. He said, but it's happening now.
Right.
Amen.
But after the Gentile door is going to be closed, we got a time allotted in here somewhere, and we're going to just have a shouting good time, because we know by then, when that door shuts, we're going in a rapture.
Amen.
There's no falling backwards. We're going in a rapture. But we've got to come to maturity. We've got to come, as the brother Branham says, in speaking condition. We must come into adoption condition, where he wants you to speak, but he don't want you to speak wrong.
Right.
He wants you to speak his mind, not yours. You know how the old phrase, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind?
Yep.
How many times does that ever work good? How many times does that ever work good? I didn't think so. But if you'll give him a piece of his mind, it'll always work.
Amen.
So the age started in 1906. The eagle anointing is here. We can't do anything about it. It's here. It has a demand. It has a demand that we know more, look more, see more, act more like Christ. All right? There'll be more denominations, though. As I've said many times before, Brother Branham stood and he condemned and indicted a whole generation. I indict this generation for the crucifixion of Christ. Did that close one denominational church down? No.
Nope.
No, even the people that were sitting there, they just went right back to their denominations. It wasn't for them. I hate it for them people at judgment when God says, I sent you somebody.
Right.
I put him in your pulpit.
Right.
And you turned him down.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Bram said, you Pentecostal women, you get worse every year. You'd think with that pure word of God coming out and that great big anointing coming out, it wasn't for them. It's for us.
Right. Amen.
Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Today is the day of redemption.
Yes. Amen.
Everything happened here in the fourth seal. Two world wars. Remember, the Second World War had to happen because of what happened with Eichmann and Hitler and all the killing of the Jews. And then the 200,000 demons were released in Revelation 9. We'll read a little bit about that. And then what did it do? It physically drove the Jews to the homeland. Millions of Jews were killed. We talk about now under the fifth seal. We'll get to it and we'll look back here, because they weren't killed while we're here. I mean, they were killed under Eichmann and Hitler, that part of the 6 million Jews, okay? But the ones that are going to die, they're calling out for the blood is going to be the 144,000 that die. Okay? So they're under the altar right now. But it's not a Gentile altar.
Right.
It's a Jewish altar. The Jews are there crying, how long to avenge our blood? There's no way we, as a Christian, you're calling for an avenging of blood. You're crying out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But you don't cry out to, well, bless God, so-and-so. I'm just waiting until somebody dies because of that. That's not a Christian.
Right.
Jesus himself said, Father, forgive them.
Right.
And see, that's what turned Brother Branham to in the fifth seal. If you've read the fifth seal or started reading the fifth seal, which you should, start reading the fifth seal some, that's what he said. He said, that couldn't have been Christians.
Right.
He said, we don't call for an avenging of blood. He said, we call for forgiveness.
Amen.
But remember, that fifth seal's got a lot to do with us while we're standing here or sitting here today. And we'll get into that when we get into the fifth seal. Okay? Everybody with me? In its spiritual form. There's a natural set of Jews that died. From AD 70 till today and on into the tribulation period. There'll be a Jewish nation, people, that's dying underneath that altar. Okay? All right? But now remember, God didn't tell us to come boldly to the altar. He told us to come right into the Holy of Holies. They weren't required to go in the Holy of Holies. After AD 70, there was no Holy of Holies as far as a temple. The temple was destroyed. That's why they're trying to build it back now.
Amen.
It's to get God to come, the Christ to come.
That's right. Amen.
They're going to realize he's already come.
Right.
He's come to this temple.
Amen.
We are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Those souls are laying under the altar, the fifth sealed Jews. Now watch. His name that sat on him was death, and hell followed. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, to hunger, death, and with the beast of the earth. We're going to cover that a little bit extra next Wednesday. Because now, as every seal and every church age, there's an overlap.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
We're going to have to go through some sort of persecution before we get out of here. Some maybe no, some maybe yes. Brother Brown told us. It's not tribulation, but persecution. That's where that comes in. But I'm telling you, that fourth seal in there, there's an overlap. We'll get to it. Because we still got to talk about death and hell. We ain't got to that guy yet. All right? We're just telling you all the physical things that's going to happen during the time of the fourth seal, which is now. All right? Note Revelations 9:13 under the sixth trumpet, Revelations 9:13. Under the sixth trumpet, there was 200,000 horsemen that had been bound in the river Euphrates were turned loose under the sixth trumpet. We'll get into the trumpets later on, too. Now, there's not 200,000 horsemen in the world, but there was 200,000. Now, we know he means 200,000, okay? Notice I want you to jot it down so you can read it. That wasn't natural horses. They breathed fire, had breastplates of jasper. They had tails. The end of their tail looked like a serpent, a snake's head on the end of it, stinging. It was spiritual horses. Spiritual devils, chargers. Now watch. Spiritual devils. Devils that give you a spirit.
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
Right.
Spiritual demons.
Right.
Spiritual demons don't cause you to drink and commit adultery.
Right.
Right.
Spiritual demons cause you to turn the word down.
Yep.
Everybody with me? It's how serious this is. That had been bound in the river Euphrates all these years, supernatural devils. What were they? I'm fixing to tell you. Denomination. The spirit of the denomination is exactly what them things are.
Right.
Amen.
Spirit of every denomination had ever come, they were bound until this fourth seal because there was no denomination until right at the turn of the century,
right.
1906. Baptists didn't form until later on. Luther didn't become Lutherans until later on. Luther didn't become Lutherans during his time.
Right.
Remember, he had to die. Wesley had to die before Wesleyan came on. So you're looking at, you understand what I'm saying? So it's spiritual demons, spiritual chargers that was locked into that river Euphrates, because I'm going to tell you something. It was a persecution of the Jews, but remember, I read on down here a little bit further. Guess what happens? Let's just go on down there because you know what he's doing. He is bringing the Protestant ecumenical council of the world churches, the spirit of Antichrist. Every one of those 200,000 demons are the spirit of Antichrist. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Anti-word. Listen, not anti-shout.
Right.
Not anti-speaking tongues.
Amen.
Not anti-running the aisles.
Right.
Not anti-emotion. Or, wait a minute, emotion. Not anti-emotion. More emotion. No, the spirit of Antichrist upon both of them, Protestants and Catholics. Bringing them to the slaughter just like they did the other in the hour to call the bride. Look, loosed, so that's why they were bound by that ecclesiastical church spirit. But why was it loosed? For seal. You got to know what death is and where's that. And you got to know what the consequence is after. Loosed upon what? Not upon the denominations, because, listen, he didn't say it, but I'm going to say it. The denominations are that spirit. They are those 200,000 demons. It wasn't demons of running around and no, it's demons of trying to trip us up in the church.
Amen.
Spiritual chargers. Trying to trip you up where you're sitting today.
Amen.
I thought, oh my Lord. We can tell whoever the prophet told us. We don't have to go nowhere else. He told us that. Why was it not loosed on the denominations? Because it was them. But upon the bride.
Right.
But here you'll get it. Now watch. The bride will not go through that time. The church will. Because that's where those 200,000 demons are.
Right.
Now, that's not to say, now look, the demons are not going to be given eternal life, okay? The demons are hellbound.
Right.
Burn up in the lake of fire.
Amen.
But listen, they can trip up some real good people.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. I'm just saying when this rapture takes place, if you have a denominational idea or a denominational demon that took you off the word of God, you're not going in the rapture. Because
right.
This is what he's identifying.
Right.
Brother Kern.
Yeah.
That's what he's identifying.
Amen.
Upon the bride. But watch. He said, but wait a minute. But here you get it. The bride won't go through that time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The church will, but not the bride.
Right.
Those 200,000 demons are loosed on us, but they cannot get a hold of the bride. Come on, somebody.
Right.
They cannot get their teeth into the bride, the real bride.
Yeah.
The ones that have the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul. That has this message ingrained in their heart, not in their mind. That have it in their heart. Like I said before, if we come to a time to where, like I said before about hunting, I know all the hunting rules in the state of Georgia because I keep up with them. I know all the hunting rules in the state of Kentucky because I keep up with them. I used to know all the ones in Illinois because I kept up with them. You know why? I didn't want to get a ticket.
Right.
So I made sure I knew those rules.
Right.
And if they didn't change from year to year, Sister Rebecca, I just knew what they were. It's the way you should be in the gospel.
Right.
That's where mature Christians don't have to go running and trying to find a quote.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Because you're supposed to be the living word of God. You're not supposed to be a quote book.
Right.
Okay? Everybody with me?
Amen.
Is that all right? Because they're going to go through the tribulation because what did they do? They believed their ecumenical council, which was all 200,000 demons. Can't it gets close to the bride, all right? Because we might could be deceived, but we can't. But what is it doing? It's going to push us in the rapture. Well, guess where them 200,000 demons, Brother Gary? They ain't going in the rapture. They're going right back on them churches. And Brother Brown said they'll be hunted by, like dogs. They'll be some good people.
Amen.
The foolish virgins in that group. That's been deceived by false shepherds, Brother Brown said. And the good people in the denominations that lived their life. F.F. Bosworth did not agree with everything Brother Brown said. He was a Trinitarian to the core. But Brother Branham called him the old oak tree. Why? Because it wasn't time for them to get it. But he had the new birth just like William Branham did. That's why if you can't see dispensations, you got a it's just it just wears your mind out. That God did this in this dispensation, and he might have had a little bit of laugh over, but when he started bringing the eagle anointing, the man anointing went out the door.
Yes.
To the true eagle anointing ones.
That's right.
Everybody with me? Okay? But not the bride. He said, ministers, can't you see that, brethren? Why? He was talking to Trinitarians that knew in their terms of language, they're going through the tribulation. And they were going to have to stand a white throne judgment. He said, brother, can't you see that? Ministers, can't you see that? That's why this message had to come, folks. It had to come to divide. Amen? As Brother Bram said, he said, God is a segregationist. He divides. He told Israel, don't go over there, and you'll be fine. The problem is, they went over there. Same way with you and I. The Lord tells us, don't go over to that place. Don't you go over there to that place.
Right.
So what did the message come to do? All right, one. According to Malachi 4, he's going to return. Now, I wrote this, I interpolated. Does everybody know what that means? If you don't, just say no. Okay, some do, some don't. Interpolating is, if you'll look in your Bible, everything Paul, what he wrote, all right, if you go over here to Corinthians, let's just go to, turn with me. We're going to do this. We'll be here till 10 o'clock, but anyway, let's find something here we can see how Paul interpolated. I'll find one in a minute. Hang on. Find out where there's a, if you'll find where there's a parenthesis. All right, right here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I know some of you don't have your Bible. If y'all can pull it up, I'd appreciate it. But I know we have some new ones that don't know what interpolating is. But if you see what it is, you'll know what it is. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians. Everybody with me? I'm going to give him a minute. If y'all don't mind pulling it up, please. What Paul is doing, Paul brings a thought. And Paul is so learned and so scholared, he knows what that thought is, but what he does, the Holy Ghost stops him and interpolates through Paul, and it helps you to understand what he's talking about. So watch. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 2. Now you see up there? I knew him, and this is the way Paul wrote the letter that came to him that he just was supposed to print this letter. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, such as one caught up to the third heaven. That was his thought. And I knew such a man. Go to the next one. How that he was caught up in paradise. And you're going, okay, there's a gap there somewhere. So let's back up. Go to verse 2. And I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Paul interpolates and says, whether in the body, I cannot tell. whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. So he's telling you, he didn't know which one it was, all right? And I knew such a man. Now watch, it's that same man. Because look, in verse 2 he said, I knew such a man. Now in verse 3, if he hadn't have interpolated, you would have thought he's talking about another man. But as he interpolated, he said, whether in the body or out of the body. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for men to utter. You can stop right there because it doesn't. I mean, he doesn't do it all the time, but if you'll look and see, Paul is writing a letter and he stops. And the scholars know that to put that in parentheses because Paul is, he's not interpreting, he's interpolating, he's adding, not adding to the word of God because you can't add to. But God added this. If not, this is Paul's thoughts. God added that little bit of parentheses to help us know what Paul was talking about. Because Paul was a scholar. He was just right. Listen, if you saw the letters of this Bible, it don't have no verse 1, 2, 3 in chapters. Man put that in there.
Right?
It'd just be a straight letter, just like I'd write one to Donnie. I'd say, God bless you, Brother Donnie, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very cheapest apostle, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you of all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. So he just continued right on down through there. But God stopped him in the place just like he did right there and says, okay, he said, I'm going to know a man, but he says, I know a man in the third verse. But when he interpolated in the second verse, he tells you, basically it's him. But he tells you, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body, it's the same man. It's him. But how would you know that with him, without him interpolating? And it's all the way through Paul's writings. I don't know if it's through the rest of them. But all of the New Testament that Paul wrote, you can see him interpolate. So what I'm doing now is, after all that, let's close. Now, I'm interpolating, just for a second. I'm interpolating what Brother Branham is saying. I hope you don't throw tomatoes at me. Just throw some good ones, because me and Lisa hadn't had, I hadn't had a good tomato sandwich in a long time. Have you? No throwing them. Give them to Lisa. I'll guarantee you she'll throw them at me tomorrow. She'll slice them up and throw them right in my mouth. We love tomato sandwiches, don't we, Lisa? Sorry, Sister Lisa. I interpolated there. Lisa, my sister-in-law. See, that's what that done. If I said Lisa, if there was three or four Lisas in here, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But I said Lisa, parentheses, my sister-in-law is who I'm talking to. So that's interpolating. So what I'm doing here is interpolating in this quote from the Church Age book. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn, what? Restore the hearts of the children to the first Pentecostal fathers. All right, that's not Azusa Street. That's 8030, Pentecost, upper room. Two, so now what has he done, though? He's restoring that back to what they taught at Pentecost. All right? Not 1906. They were still Trinitarians. Right. These over here were not. Right. That's why he's got to restore us back to the ones that were not. But then he's got a second part. That's why this is so important, Brother Dale. He read this. He could quote it and in his sleep because he really sees that there's two parts to the message and a lot of people are not getting the second part.
Right.
Can we say right?
Amen.
It's exactly right. He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelations 10, which are the revelations contained in what I'm preaching to you now. I just interpolated. Is that okay?
Amen.
It will be these divinely revealed seven seal mystery truths that literally, what, bring the headstone. The Son of Man ministry is the headstone, which is Christ himself.
Amen.
Turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Watch. Exactly so. It's going to grab us and turn us around.
Right. Amen.
It's going to put us, Brother Boyd, on the right road.
Right.
If we'll take this second part, which is the opening of the seals. Rapture message. I'm interpolating again. I may get excited. We may be here at 9 o'clock. I like this. And the rapture message. Now, it's the first thing is sounding is a trumpet. He stopped and he said, he got a little mixed up. He's a human being. A shout, then a voice, then a trumpet. Shout was a messenger getting the people ready or years of preparation. Tying up the loose ends, faith of the fathers. All right? The second is the voice of the... Now, what I've got in black and highlighted in yellow, that's what Brother Branham is saying. That's the real, that's the literal quote, okay? What's in the red is what I'm interpolating. The second is a voice of the resurrection. Now, look, who spoke the resurrection of Lazarus? The Son of Man. He stood there on earth and said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus heard a thunder. Because the Bible says a loud voice. Watch. The same voice, a loud voice in St. John 11, 38 through 44, that called Lazarus from the grave. There was a temporary destruction of death. And I'm not talking about, you know, Brother Wade died and they brought him back to life, and we've seen people. And I had a man, you know, me and Dad prayed for him, Brother Randall. Well, he wasn't brother, but he was a man that hunted with us. Saw him come back to life. This guy was stinking rotten dead. His nose was falling in.
Right. Yep.
I thank God let that happen to prove what he could do. But who is that voice coming from? It's coming from the Son of Man.
Right.
He stood on earth. He said, I am the resurrection and life. I am the resurrection.
Right.
Now, you and I, listen. If she is him, if she is him, remember, we're going to have the same potentials he did. The same scripture speaks of the... I'm telling you what the prophet said. I'm not telling you what I'm saying.
Right.
Same scripture speaks to the bridegroom, speaks to the bride.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
Death at that time was temporarily destroyed. But that wasn't time for me and you because we weren't born. 2,000 years ago, our ancestors weren't even born.
Right.
Because remember what Martha said? What did Martha tell him? She said, Lord, we know. We know that we're all going to come up in that. She didn't say Laodicean church age, but we're going to all come up at the end time. I know that. We're all going to resurrect. Jesus is like, come on. I'm a present death destroyer. I am the resurrection and the life. Death is destroyed for a moment, but it won't be destroyed. Even the people that died that we've seen, Brother Bram's seen, different ones around the country, they died, they resurrected. A lot of them are already passed away again. Lazarus died again. Because that was what they were under, was that anointing. Okay? They were actually still in the Old Testament. You know that, right? They were still under the blood of bulls and goats. But they had the right lamb there. Amen? Do we have the right lamb here? Yeah. We do. Now look right here. And we'll stop right here. Musicians, get ready to come. We'll pick it up Wednesday night. Didn't even get close to where I wanted to get, but that's okay. Oh, let me read this one quote. This is me. I'm going to quote it, and I'm not going to interpolate. This is me. If you ride with that pale horse, you're going to hell. 200,000 demons are going to make sure you get there. That's the truth. Amen. Let's read this quote, and then we'll stop. I Oh, wait a minute. This is on the third seal. Now, that's what the reason today the revivals that we're supposed to have, we have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. No, 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 sir. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, we've got millions and millions. I'm going to tell you, we've got millions and millions of people that call themselves bride. Amen. Message believers. There's churches in Africa with 14,000 members.
Right.
Y'all seen some of them. You know some of them. 4,000 or 5,000 anyway. How in the world? It'd take a month to take communion. You probably forget foot washing. Wow. But are they all bride? That's for them to have to figure out. But the Bible said, fear not, little flock. Fear not the ones that are going to make it to the end. Fear not, I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to take you across. Okay? Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they've got millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. No, no. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. Now, what kind of revival are we looking for? We're not looking for a revival of the gifts.
Right.
That happened 2026. That happened, good grief. That a long time ago. 100-something years ago. That's when the gifts were restored. 1906. That's when the gifts were restored. Azusa Street. There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. Bride! We're looking for it. It will take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it. He promised it.
Amen.
Now watch. She was dead. And now if the churches would forget their creeds and forget their dogmas and just take the Bible, plead the promise, then it would come in effect to them.
Right.
But see, Jesus said, you with your traditions make the word of God of not effect to you. Well, that's the same thing today with spiritual Eve. The spiritual bride of today, now watch, so-called church. She takes the word of God, now watch. She takes the word of God and she won't accept it. Oh, they preach this. Bible, this is what they preach. But they take their dogmas instead. Therefore, the word's not effective to her.
Right.
Because she tries to inject her creed with the word, and it won't work.
Amen.
Then we'll start back on to our 2 Thessalonians. Let's stand. Come on. Musicians, come. God bless you. I'm sorry it was a little bit hard, but today I was sitting there going, man, we got to get this. And I don't want to be nervous about, Brother Brown said he was nervous one time. You know, I just don't want to be nervous. But, and it all came from one young little 84-year-old sister yesterday coming home from her doctor's appointment. Called my mama. It said, we're one day, we don't know what day, we're talking about, you know, 2026, 2027. She said, I'll tell you one thing, we're one day closer than we were yesterday. And that's what I got to thinking about. And that's why I got to, it just came over me that we got to get this thing.
Right. Amen.
We got to get it right. And listen, God said, that we would. And I got to believe him. I got to believe what he said. I'm not going to believe what somebody else says. I'm going to believe what he said. But if we believe the word of God, if you got the new birth, the new birth's going to take you to that. But remember, we're still going to have troubles and trials and tribulations. Still going to have that. But if you'll lay yourself down, and if you can't understand what we're talking about, take a Bible, open it up, and say, God, you promised me you'd send me somebody to tell me, explain to me the word. And I'm an 11th hour worker, and I'm going to work my fingers to the bone for that 1 hour, because I'm going to get the same thing that the people who's been here 50 and 60 years is going to get. That's what he said. He gave them the same wage. But you know what the man said? You know, remember the ones that were grumbling? You know what the man said? You accepted it. Isn't that what he said? He said, you accepted it. Why are you grumbling? You accepted that. That's exactly what you accepted. You remember the ones that said, well, we worked for so-and-so, they getting the same amount? That's what you contracted for. So guess what? This is what we contracted for. We got some 11th hour workers. We need to help them. Amen. Go to work. Amen. Put the gloves on. Start battling the devil. I know we have problems and trials and tribulations, and I know we have things that bother us. But if you ever just really sat down and in your, just sit down one day and write down your problems that you think you got problems. Write your problems down. Because your problems may not be my problems. I may be able to overcome mine that it's the same as yours, but you can't. Same way, vice versa. But write them down, and as I was thinking today, you know, we keep saying that, and sometimes it's a cop-out. I'm sorry. Well, we're always going to have problems because we're always going to be in. Well, somewhere you got to overcome whatever, like my bad language, the things I did out in the world, those I had to overcome, and I did. Amen. I didn't do it. He did it. I like what a preacher said yesterday. I was watching online. He said, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, he said, you probably need to go back to the birth. I mean, you know, if you got a problem with, if you keep saying a little blip word every once in a while, and it's every once in a while, you're not born again. That takes care of that. Well, don't get quiet on me. You think we can walk around here and be cussing cussing in Georgia. We go around here saying bad words and we're going to make a rapture? We're going to be somebody that God uses? We're going to have a temper where we cut somebody off, flip them off, or whatever? Just like out in the world, you got to get saved from something, folks. If you don't realize you've been saved from something, you need to be saved. Amen. That's all of us. Like Brother Brown said, you don't have to tell a Holy Ghost-filled woman not to cut her hair. So we don't have to preach on hair and dress. Amen. But obviously, we have to preach on people come to church. Because they don't. And that's bothersome to me. But you understand it does bother me. If you don't believe it by now, it bothers me. Especially when I see you on Saturday and see you on Monday somewhere, and I don't see you on Sunday. And I guess, anyway, let's sing a song. God bless you.
Would you be free from your burden of sin?
There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Sing it to him. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
Power in the blood.
Only the blood, it'll make prayer. Remember all the ones that are there and the ones that are going to have to travel to get back home. And just God to give us a good time in the Lord. And we'll have some good fellowship. We'll get back here on Sunday. Brother Keith Reed to be here. Sing it to him as you leave. Bye.